to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Now stop and think about that a moment. Which is more important? Well, you know, to a paralyzed person, naturally, but we have a longer generation coming, and that's in the eon to come. And it's better that his sins be forgiven, that he makes it there, than it is for him to be viable and not paralyzed with metabolism flowing here on earth. Which is more important? Let me ask it a different way. Which would you rather be, have a healthy body here and not make it to heaven? I think you get my point. It was important first to forgive sins. But you see, people are strange. They don't have faith. He could see the faith of the one that was paralyzed. But these boys couldn't see that. So they don't, which means what? They don't have faith. And when you don't have faith, I'm sorry, God doesn't really want anything to do with you other than you're his child, and he's going to do some things that will cause you to mature tremendously, especially if you be one of his election. They've got to see it, in other words. They're looking for things in the flesh that they can see. They don't have faith in the Spirit that the Son of God stood before them. Verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man, that's God's Son in the flesh, hath power on earth to forgive sins. If you don't believe I can forgive sin, to fix it so you can let it go. He saith to the sick of the palsy, 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. I mean, that's putting it pretty straight, isn't it? But now, bear in mind, keep your qualifications straight. This boy had faith. He knew if Jesus said it, he could jump right up from there, take his pallet. All the Oklahoma people know what a pallet is. That's what kind of bed this was. Some people don't, okay? But he could just roll it up and walk right off with it, 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. Wouldn't they be? And glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen power released like that. Well, the same power took place when he said, son, your sins are forgiven. That's important to you today, dear one. Otherwise, do you know where it's written? By your name in the book. The book that you are judged from, okay? It's a good idea for you to keep those pages clean, blotted, clean. How do you do that? Well, you're going to fall short. You better learn repentance and let him know, because he promised this to you, that you're able to let it go. Just let it fly away. It's gone. And do you know something else? He don't want to hear about it anymore. You better remember that. He doesn't want to hear about it again. Why? It hurts his feelings. How would you feel? Let me see if I can get an analogy that'll do this any good. How would you feel if one of your children kind of messed up and you said, well, son, that's okay. You kind of did it in my fender there a little bit, but we can get that fixed. We'll order one of these newfangled things that just pop it right out of there. Okay, and he comes back to you in 5 minutes and says, Dad, I'm sorry I messed up your fender. It's all right, son. I forgave you. Pretty soon, Dad, I didn't mean to bend your fender. Pretty soon, you're going to say, son, will you please forget it? It's over. It's done. We're going to fix it, and it'll be all right. Let it go. Well, that's kind of the way God, when you keep bringing stuff up to him, pretty soon he says, hey, what's the matter with you? I'm seeing a weakness in faith here. You don't believe I could do it, even though I paid that price on the cross, giving me the power and the authority. You keep dragging that old stuff up here, hanging on to garbage. Let it go. That's what forgiveness means. 13, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude restored unto him, and he taught them. And so it was. Faith brings forth forgiveness. Faith in Him. Well, what does that mean? That means you know. There is no doubt in your mind when you mess up and say, Father, please forgive me and help me not to ever mess up like that again. Bam, it's gone. Let it go. And so it is gone. Now, you always have that prerogative that if you like stuff like that, you can hang on to it. But really, in their right mind, who would want to do that? I mean, when you consider that He died on the cross to be able to promise you, let her fly, let her go, you're cleansed. And, oh, Father, I'm not quite ready. Let me do this all over again. Pretty soon He's going to say, I don't have time to mess with you. Okay, He won't really say that, probably. But that's kind of the way He's going to feel, right? I would. And in as much as we're made in His image, that kind of lets us know, doesn't it? So, there we have it. Acts chapter 2. That's where Christ Himself is the one that dispensed that forgiveness. It wasn't anyone else. It was He in person. Now, I want to go to, well, let's go all the way over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. I want to talk about, and through His name, forgiveness. When you teach in His name can bring forth forgiveness. You just witnessed in Mark 2, Christ Himself saying, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You could also have sins forgiven through the teaching of His name, or using the power and the authority of His name. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your sins be forgiven. You have repented. You don't need a man to say that. Okay? That's just between you and the Lord. Acts chapter 13, let's pick it up with verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through him, in him, and in his name. All right? And by him, all that believe, there's that word again, isn't that strange, are justified. Justified means made right. Okay? From all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. In other words, by Moses, you had to do certain things, and there were certain things that repentance was not there except for giving burnt animals and so on and so forth. And it seems like they couldn't do that because when they went out to pick the very best out of the flock, they always pick something with a nubbin on it or something, you know, to give to God. And they wasted their time. The law just didn't do it. But with Christ on the cross, in His name and through Him, through what He did on that cross, it was done for you. Okay? Verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. In other words, there's nothing new about this. It's in the Old Testament. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They want to hear more about this. Christ paid a price. Well, you mean His crucifixion was written of in the Old Testament? That's what it said. There's going to be a new way. It was taught back then. In other words, through Him, you have forgiveness of sins, whereby you can simply let her go. You know, sometimes we forget to account sins in our lives. Well, you don't understand, brother. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't run around with wild women. And you know the old boy is pretty well shut up then, all right? He's doing good. But then at the same time, every time his brother wants to borrow his drill, he gets all upset. Whoo! Why don't he buy his own? Well, don't you remember when you borrowed his? Well, that we understand that. You know, I mean, sometimes we have little things that are kind of a sin, though we're holy jokes. Okay. Y'all never met anybody like that, have you? Well, I'm afraid I have one or two, okay? You know, you've heard me say this before, I'm sure. The best man I ever knew is a neighbor and a friend. I have never seen him inside a church door. I have never seen him pick up the Bible and open it. I've heard him quote it. He's not with us any longer, but a lot of people would judge him to hell. Best man lived biblically that I ever knew in my life, I believe. I think so. I've known a lot of people, but this case always stood out for me for a very strong reason. I really kind of almost disliked this man because when I first came to this part of the country, I'd wave when I drove by, and he'd just sit on that porch and with his nose up. Well, I'm a friendly type guy. I like to wave. And I found out there's places you don't do that. I flew to California to teach once, and I went out for an early morning walk, and a lady was driving by, and I waved, and she thought there was a pervert loose or something, you know. But anyway, but God bless those from California. If I'm not careful, many might think I'm digressing here, all right? But this went on for a couple of 3 weeks of me waving, and then I learned he was blind. Okay. And I grew to really love this man and did business with him, a great man. Anyway, what has that got to do with where we at and where are we? God, through teaching Christ, teaches you how to attain that forgiveness and not be disappointed in it. Now, let's go to one other example of in his name. All right, let's specifically get it. Let's see, let me make sure here. Acts 13. Yeah, I want to go to Acts 10 for his name. These are the acts of the apostles. How they act is the way we're supposed to act in some ways, especially if it's good. I want to go to verse 40 of chapter 10, the great book of Acts. Verse 40 reads, and bear in mind, I said we want to learn in his through his name also forgiveness is exercised. Him, God, this is verse 40 of chapter 10. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. There wasn't anything hidden. 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen. That's the 12 and those that he went to before of God. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. That's paying the price for you. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. And to testify, witness, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. That means the living. Quick means the living and the dead. He's the judge. Okay. 43, we're going to be quoting from the Old Testament here. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever, through his what? Through his name, having faith on it, believeth in him, shall receive remission of sins. That means that's remission, same word. To let it go. Your sins are let go. He paid an awesome price to have that happen. That was written, my dear friend, way back in the Old Testament. That we could know through the name of the one coming that we would have this forgiveness. There's nothing new under the sun. God had it. Why is it through his name? Well, what is his name? Emmanuel, God with us. God is the one that forgives. Jesus, that is to say, Yeshua, which is to say, Yahweh's Savior. That's His business. His name is saving. To save you, to let you turn loose, get rid of stuff, and be in Him a mature Christian, worthy of wearing His name. Because when you call yourself Christian, you're saying, I'm a Christ man, or woman, or child. Okay. And what is His other name? Messiah. Christos. Which is to say, the Anointed One. What is that? What does that prove to us? That He was anointed a long time ago to be here, to pay that price, so that you could turn loose and let it go. On repentance, you were forgiven through His name, Savior. And to be saved, naturally, the part that would cause you to go to hell is sent away. It is gone. And I think it's time now that we bring in, let's go all the way back to Acts chapter 3. I'm kind of running you around a little bit. I don't know any other way to do it, and it's good for you. Okay? Excuse me. I want to do a little something here for those that like to hang on to it rather than letting it go. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before, I repeat, before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that's the writers of the Old Testament, okay? That God's the right author, but they penned it. That Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. He paid that price. Now listen very carefully. 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Do you know what this word blotted out? Blotted is ex-a-fo. Ex-a-fo. It means erased. It means, probably better said, obliterated. Just absolutely gone. It's away. Doesn't exist anymore. Blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. He's going to at the second advent. And beloved, that's not very far off, I don't think. He's going to send Him back. As we see deterioration in and around the mountain God so loved and made an eternal covenant with. As we even hear wording of atomic explosions. I mean, they haven't happened, but threatened. That's pretty heavy stuff, friend. So it's time for you to let everything go and not be hanging on to anything and be ready to serve. All right. So this is His way. When He forgives you, it is blotted out, and that's it. Now, why did He quote back up there a while ago, friend, in the prior chapter? He quoted from Isaiah chapter 53. Let's go there. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. Why did He quote that verse from there? Well, let's go find out. Isaiah chapter 53. You'll remember what this chapter is about. It's about Christ dying on the cross, how that His body would receive the stripes and we'd receive the healing. It tells about how they would abuse Him, how He was innocent, how He didn't deserve any of that, but His love for you, so that you could just let stuff go after repentance. He did this for you. Isaiah 53, let's pick it up with verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked. I mean, he was executed between malefactors. And with the rich in his death, he was buried in his uncle Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. Because he had done no violence. He was innocent. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Do you know why it pleased God to do this? Because he loves you. He thinks you're worth it, are you? To let it go. So you could let it go. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, for your sins, he shall see his seed, his children. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And boy, has it. Verse 11, this is why we came here. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, underline it, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. The word justify means make right. Okay? It is tzadek. T-S-A-D-A-Q in the Hebrew language. It means to make right. Boy, he paid that price so that when you ask with faith, he makes it right. And he does it right then when you ask. And, you know, he went through a lot of pain to make that possible. How? He does love the seed, the offspring, the children. For he shall bear their iniquities. Is that right? Not really, but he knew we couldn't do it. So he did it for us. He bore our sins, the ability to just say, child, forget it. It's gone. I forgive you. I blot it out of the book. It's not written there any longer. It's obliterated. How could you have the nerve to hang on to something because of the price that he paid so that you can let it go? That's why it hurts his feelings when you bring it up again, when you know he's forgiven you. That's why he died on that cross, was so that when you ask, the price was paid. Wasn't free. It cost him an awesome price. So that's all the more reason that you are bound in faith to let it go. Let it go. Now, our Father at the same time has feelings when people won't let it go. Let's go back to chapter 43 here. Chapter 43, Isaiah. Verse 25. What I want you to know is this repentance business is not new. Okay? It was promised a long time, but he had to fulfill the promise. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 25. Even I. That's twice for emphasis. Okay? It's your Father. Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. What? You're his child. He didn't want to lose you. That's why he had to destroy the first earth age, was to try to bring about salvation for his children. He loves you and will not remember their sins. Now, when he says, I won't remember it, he don't want you bringing it up again either. Got it? That's my point. Not advisable, my friend. He says, I won't remember it. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified, that I can make it right. He wants to. You know, I mean, I'm going to say, our Father is so good to us. And give us a chance for a breakaway here, because I've lost track of time and I don't know where we are, but I just thought of one other scripture that I got to have, and this can be cut away if there's not time enough in the hour. Jeremiah chapter 41. Thirty 41?